by saying thank you. This is a day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I want to thank you each and every one of you for coming to hear me preach the word of God. It's not about me, but it's about Jesus, Cristo, Jesus, and preaching the word of God. I don't know how so many famous preachers that I've seen on the internet and a few I've met, how they miss what Jesus plainly and simply says. They preach about a lot of different things. Most from the Bible, others not. But it's like more of a, it's pertaining to the word of God. It's about the Bible. But Jesus says these simple words. Preach the word. Now, it doesn't mean just reading the Bible to people. Most of us have enough, or all of us have enough education, even the young ones, that we can read it ourselves. But do you know that's what Jesus did? He said when he came into the synagogue, someone handed him, which is the Old Testament, then that was, because the New Testament was being written, being lived, they just handed him the scriptures. And he got up and he read the scriptures to people. I remember one time was the book of Isaiah. And then he just sat down and he let the word of God go where it lay. Before we pray, if you'd open your Bibles. Oh, I love to say those words. To the New Testament, to the book of Luke, chapter 11, we're going to be in verses 1 to 6. Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. This is talking about what we call the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it should be called the Disciples' Prayer, or even the Christian's prayer. Why? Because within this prayer, it says, forgive us. Jesus is the great forgiver. He's our Lord, he's our God, and he's our Savior. Jesus Christ. So it's not the Lord's Prayer. But how this came about was when one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. See, when I read these things in the Bible, I look at it, it not only pertains to then, but it pertains to us right now. So I don't look at it, it's kind of, when I'm studying it and reading and praying about it, that person asked the Lord to teach them how to pray. It's as though I was that person, I was there, God is still alive today. And I'm asking, teach me to pray. So just like Pastor Kewin does, we study and God gives us answers. Leads us, guides us, directs us, give us wisdom, gives us understanding, chastises if need be. What actual preaching is taking the word and telling you what God told me in this instance. This same prayer is in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 6 to 13, I don't know if we're going to get there or not. I don't even know if we're going to get through the whole prayer because There's such riches. There's such majesty. There's such wisdom and knowledge. When you ask Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray. We need to listen and see what God said. I don't know how many times I've heard this prayer. How many times I've heard it preached. How many times over the years I've preached it. But you know something? I was talking with a man, a Christian man, just a little while ago. And we had agreed. The Word of God never gets old. If you would study the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and then you start all over again in Genesis, and I'm not suggesting you have to read it in that order, but if you went from Genesis to Revelation and then back to Genesis, it's all fresh. It's all new. So Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. I want to tell you a real short story. It could be true. I don't know that it's true. It's kind of funny. I don't know if it'll be funny in Spanish or not, but it is in English. Because, see, when I was a young kid, I didn't come from a Christian family. Okay? But you'll see why, and we used to have to pray, though, before we went to bed. And it was a standard prayer that people, Christian, non-Christian, going to church or not, would pray. And that's what this story is about. Two men were standing outside of the church. One man was saying how good a Christian he was. And the other man is looking at him and, oh, you think you're a good Christian. You think you know the Bible, don't you? And he said, yes, I do. And he went in his pocket and he pulled out, you know, I was given something when I came in. Wasn't this much. But he pulled out a $10 bill. He said, I'm going to lay that $10 bill there. And all you have to do to get that $10 bill is recite the Lord's Prayer to me. And the guy said, huh, I can do that. And he said, okay, do it. And he said, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The other guy here, he said, I don't believe it. You did it. Here's the $10. Think about that. He didn't know it either. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, that means this really happened, that as he was praying in a certain place, Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel being interpreted as God with us, he was praying. And even as we read it now in the Bible, like I did when God gave me this message, we need to pay attention. But it says, and it came to pass, God said, preach the word, that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. See, when people in Bible days, and it was recorded, written down, asked certain questions, we need to listen. How about in the book of Acts, chapter 16? Where the word of God says this, what must I do to be saved? And the answer came back, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not would be, not could be, but thou shalt be saved. If anybody's around a Christian, if anybody's in a Christian home, if anybody's in a Christian church, That should be the first, the foremost, and the main question on their mind. What must, you know, it's not what did you do to be saved? What did they do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? The first word comes out, believe. It's not a word that's very hard to understand. But you can't just believe on anything. You know, you got people that actually believe they're saved by being baptized. They're saved by joining the church. You got young folks, they say they're saved because their mother and father was saved. Or their grandmother and grandfather was saved. Uncle, aunt, best friend. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says, believe on the Lord. Jesus, Christo, Jesus. And thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Lord, and I'm saying this right now, teach us to pray. And he said unto them, and he's saying unto us now, when ye pray, and it takes a little definition of the word prayer. Prayer simply means asking. People say, I'm going to go tell God this and tell God that and tell God the other. If they ask me, they said, is that good? I said, no. Well, aren't we supposed to tell it to Jesus? Yeah. But you don't tell God anything. You ask him. He is the God of glory. I'm getting into the message and we haven't prayed ourselves because I'm going by where Jesus said, teach us to pray. So when ye pray, in other words, when ye ask, but let me say something else about, excuse me, something else about prayer. It's asking God. So when ye pray, say, our Father, y'all say this with me, even if it's in Spanish. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Thank you. I already had some, though. That's good. Thank you. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the book of John, chapter 20, verses 16 and 17. I'm going to turn there. I know what it says, but I want you to see that I get this from the Word of God. This is talking about Mary. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Now, I want to take note of that. He said, I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. Notice when Jesus a lot of times talked about the Father, he would say the Father, or he would say my Father. In John chapter 10, verse 30, and I quote the word of God, Jesus is speaking, and he says this, I and my Father are one. Let's go to John chapter 14. Familiar passage of Scripture. And verse 1. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. It means don't think too much into this. Don't get a calculator and try to figure this out. Don't get confused, because God is not the author of confusion. He said you just really need to do two things and realize that Jesus is speaking to the people that's there. So they're kind of like scratching their head. Okay, what is the two things we need to do? He said, ye believe in God? He's saying it almost as a question. I'm sure a lot of them, well, we wouldn't be listening to you if we didn't believe in God. So we believe in God. I'm sure that everybody here believes in God. So Jesus said, like, you're halfway there. Okay, how do we get all the way there? He says here, believe also in me. Y'all say, amen. Believe also in me. Then he goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know why some people argue that point. They said it should be rendered rooms. Well, a mansion has plenty of rooms in it. They say it should be written dwelling places. Well, there's plenty of dwelling places. But you know why we should go by the King James Version of the Bible and stick with what the Word of God says? He said, preach the word, mansions. It's right. I don't see how they missed this. It's right in front of their face. You know, that's not the teaching tonight. In verse 2, which is John chapter 14, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. If it had been rooms, if it had been dwelling places, he said, I would have told you that. I said mansions. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Not a room, not a dwelling place. But there's a song I used to sing with the church when I was in Germany, where I got saved. And part of it goes, I got a mansion just over the hilltop. In that bright land where we'll never grow old. And then someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. And then he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. He just saying, where I'm going, you know. And we're going to see that in a moment in the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer. And the way ye know. But Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. Kind of like putting in my words, he's telling God, he's telling Jesus, you assume that. But you give us more credit than you should. We don't know where you're going. And since we don't know where you're going, how can we know to get there? So he says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, and he's saying unto us today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus addresses the Father as the Father. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He told Mary, he says, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father. So where the head scratching comes in for me is, let's go back to Luke chapter 11. When someone asked, teach us to pray. And Jesus answered in verse 2, when ye pray, say, our Father. Why didn't he again say, when ye pray, say, the Father, which art in heaven? Or why didn't he say, my Father, which art in heaven? What did we read in John chapter 14? What did Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse 1? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, that's God the Father. He said, believe also in me. I've talked, or heard of, I should say, some seasoned Christians, and they don't know what the Trinity is. You teach them and you tell them, I bet you most of these little kids, if not all of them, they know what the Trinity is. The word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, just like the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible. But it means three. So when you tell somebody about the Trinity, like where Jesus said in Matthew 28, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit is the same one. And people say, hold on, you're confusing me. How is that? Are they God? And you say, in short answer, yes. So you just said three gods. But the Bible says there is only one God. So what is it? Three gods or one God? We go by what the Bible says. The Word of God says there is only one God. So who is the Father? Who is the Son? Who is the Holy Ghost? Another part says the Father, the Word. Takes it from John chapter 1. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. When I was a brand new Christian, probably a month or two saved, babe in Christ, that question came up. And I asked, and I still use that same answer I got till this day. It's very, very simple. There is only one God. But that one God divided himself into three parts. Person said, now you're confusing me again. I hold it. Listen. We got a pie. Let's say an apple pie. How many pies, if I'm imagining, how many pies do I have here? They said, you just said you got one pie. Okay. I cut that pie, that one pie, into thirds. Now I give you a piece, I keep a piece, and give the people over here a piece. I said, how many pieces of pie do we have? They said, three. How many pies do we have? One. That's oversimplified, but that explains the Trinity. Now let me get a little more spiritual on you. The Father, Bible says God is a spirit. The Father is the one that always stayed in heaven. The Son is that part of God that came down from heaven. The Bible says He was made a little bit lower than the angels to suffer the pangs of death so that he could die for you, die for me, die for our sins, shed his precious blood. When he was on earth, he was fully God and he was fully man at the same time. He died for sin, but he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When he was resurrected, declared to be the Son of God, the Bible says by the power of the resurrection, like when he told Mary, touch me not. I have not yet ascended unto the Father. He was declared to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection, but he said these words. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. But he said, I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of promise. He will lead you and guide you into all things. And just a little tidbit, you know why, you know, because I can see some of the apostles in a way looking at him saying, you know, why do you have to leave? I learned an answer to that question. Jesus had to leave because it was written of him, even in the Old Testament. But in a more of a recent carnal sense, the reason he had to leave, when Jesus, when you read your Bible, he was here on earth. He was in Nazareth. He was in Galilee. He was in Corinth and this type of thing. He was only in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit could be everywhere at one time. That's why he said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I must go, that Holy Spirit can come in order to lead and guide you. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then we get into the book of Acts. Have you ever thought about this? Peter preached a message, and the Holy Spirit came down. Everybody heard. Wasn't speaking in tongues like a lot of Pentecostals say. Okay? Because it doesn't say Peter spoke in an unknown language. But it says all of these different nations and languages and people, they heard him in order that they, in their language, so that they could understand it. So when they went back home, they could explain the gospel, they could tell others. But Peter had never preached. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them in that assembly, he preached a message. And the Bible says, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Man that didn't have homiletics, he never been to Bible college or anything else, but he did walk with Jesus Christ. 3,000 people in one day got saved. Because what did he do? He preached the word. He was guided by God's Holy Spirit. Let's get back to our text. Why would Jesus, when somebody asked him to pray or teach us to pray, say, Our Father? Remember, Jesus said, I go to my Father. But if you're listening to Jesus Christ, he said, ye believe in God, that's the Father. He said, believe also in me. He said, I am God also. Y'all say amen. So when he said, you have the same Father, if you believe in God, you believe also in me. When you do that, he said, I and my Father are one. So when you do that, okay, it's no longer he can say, or he would want to say, my Father. He says, our Father. Wouldn't you love to have the same Father as Jesus Christ? If you're saved, now I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Cristo. I want what Jesus has got. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I want what Jesus got. He said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Now, when I asked him to teach me to pray, he didn't say, let's pray. Jesus is Father. Their Father. Not even my Father. It's our Father. It shows that you are identifying with Christ. It shows that you're believing in God and you're believing also in Him. What did Jesus say in John 14:6? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have to have Jesus. You have to have Cristo. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. If you hear me preach long enough, you'll say, you keep saying the same thing from the Word of God, but you keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. You know why? Because it don't change. I had a song I would sing, and it goes, but in the Word of God, I've found the answer. You know what I like about preaching? It's the Word of God. There's no other Word of God but the Word of God. The devil gets these new versions. He keeps trying to change it in this type of thing. I can tell you exactly why men follow the devil and he keeps trying to change it. Because he said the same thing he said in the beginning in the Garden of Eden when he said it to Eve. He said, hath God said? Hath God said? Hath God said? And when you got the right Bible, the King James Bible, if it's in English or in Spanish, and you go by that, it don't change. In the Word of God, that's why we have to have a Bible. That's why we have to study to show ourselves approved. That's why we don't need to memorize scripture just to memorize scripture. Hey, look at me. I'm a big shot. I can recite 1 Corinthians 14 word for word. Yeah, so? Do you understand that that's the Word of God? A man told me, I don't know if he was mocking me or not one time at Historic Baptist. He said, you know, when they go, I was a pastor then, Pastor Thompson. He said, Pastor Thompson can take one word and preach for a half an hour on it if it's in the Bible. I looked at him and said, what's wrong with that? If God said it, let's take one small word, two-letter word, if. Now, that word kind of is insignificant. Okay. You know, if. But when God said it, he said this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if means eternity. If means everything. How about another two-letter word, so? S-O. You know the Bible says in John 3:16, for God loved the world. Now that would be enough. But I left out a word, a little two-letter word, so. See, the Bible doesn't say in John 3:16, for God loved the world. It says, for God so loved the world. Now, you can tell your husband and you can tell your life. Your life. Well, she is your life. But you can tell your husband or you can tell your wife, okay, you can say, honey, I love you. And he or she will probably grab you. Oh, that's so sweet. But you can tell your husband or your wife, I love you so. Woo, that takes it over the top. Your wife will probably look at you and say, what have you done? You say, I haven't done nothing. I just said I loved you. She, no, no, you didn't. You said you love me so. You must have done something wrong. Here, take your flowers back until you decide to come to me and tell the truth. But I'm just saying, when it's the word of God, a small thing becomes eternal. Time is running out, so I knew we weren't going to finish this. There's such riches there. When the kids hand me this, what is this? It's a track, but it's what, $1 million. It looks real too. Yeah, I wish they would have did the other side, but matter of fact, they did. And Pastor Kewin's wife, she had told me. I said, "Now I'm rich now." And she said, brother, I thought you must have forgot. I thought you were already rich when you got saved. Amen? Absolutely right. But the word of God says, Jesus said, our Father, which art in heaven. You know something? I'm going to read to you real quick from the book of Colossians chapter 3. You can turn there if you'd like. You don't have to. You can stay with the main text. But Colossians chapter 3. Reading Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Why should we seek those things which are above? Number one, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, written to believers, the word of God says, love not the world. How many times have I, how many times have other Christians fell because they love something or somebody that they shouldn't in this world? God said, the word of God said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, now notice he said neither the things that are in the world. He didn't say people. God says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus paid it all. But he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know the only one that's supposed to love this world? God himself. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world. But it doesn't say he so loved the world that he invented Cadillacs and fancy clothes and billions of dollars and all this stuff. God didn't take from this world. He didn't want from this world. What he did is gave to this world. So therein lies the secret. What did he give? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus. Cristo. Jesus. Woo! Yes. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So our Father art in heaven. We got just that far tonight. As God gives me license in the future to preach again, I like to continue to preach. You can see how many riches. What is it? Our Father who art in heaven. We only did 6 words. That's right, hallelujah. 6 words. And look at the treasures and the riches that we have got. I don't need this anymore. Thank you for it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I'll end with that. What does the word hallowed mean? I asked a little kid, what does the word hallowed mean? She said, it means Halloween. No. In the Bible, it means holy. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know something? If we could actually do that from birth, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. But because the Bible says this, and I'm going to close, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to raise your hand or you don't have to say this out loud, but I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody here that believes that they're not a sinner, that they've not sinned? Now, I'm not talking about when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior. But I'm going to go as far as to say this. The Apostle Paul said, that which I should do, I do not, and that which I should not do, that I do. He said that in Romans chapter 7. Look it up. So you sin after you get saved. I heard a man say this saying, and it applies. He said, when you get saved, you're not sinless. But when you get saved, you should sin less. See, when you look at God's holiness, I'm going to tell you this, that's my personal experience. The closer that I get to God, the more I hate myself. Because you see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. All we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Said in the Old Testament, he who forgiveth all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. We need to think about that. Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I'll explain that at another time, but that just means Yeah, it's saying, God, I want you in my life every day. Every day. And why? Give us this day our daily bread. And we need forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Very quickly, I wondered before. And I said, the Bible says that God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So why would that even be in there when Jesus was teaching them to pray, lead us not into temptation? When you look at Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. If Satan is powerful enough, smart enough to try to tempt the Son of God, and he knows who he is, then how much more is he going to try to do that to you? Lead us not to temptation, but here's the opposite of that, but deliver us from evil. For thine art the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's bow our heads. Lord God and Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that thy spirit is moved, Lord God, as you've allowed me to preach this word, Lord God, giving it the proper respect, Lord Jesus. There's no way that I could get through the whole thing and preach it in its entirety. It would take hours and hours and hours and hours. And as thou'll give me license, maybe I'll go where we left off. And the next time I preach, if thou wilt, Lord God, I will continue in the Lord's Prayer, which I like to call a disciple's prayer. Oh, my God. I don't want to wait for that. I ask that you would teach us to pray. Not just with what you gave us here on this night, but we have the Holy Spirit, that you fill us with that Spirit, that you lead us, that you guide us, that you direct us in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over, but surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.